This evening, I've been assigned the topic, How to Identify the Lord's Church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. That has been a worn out text, but we will still go there. Jesus promises to build the church. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. We want to identify or show some identifying marks of the Lord's church. If you're visiting with us, I want to tell you right off the bat that I will speak some difficult things, but I don't want you to go away without knowing that we speak them because we love your soul. I would have you to be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and 11. I would have you to open God's word and check for yourself to see if those things are so. The reason we speak these things is because we want to all avoid hell and go to heaven. The fact is that there is a heaven and there is a hell. To do so, each one of us, children, especially you, listen up. We must have what we call independent minds. We must be independent thinkers. We don't believe anything because of how it is said, with how much passion it is put forth. We don't believe anything just because mother and father believe it. That's not the reason to believe, children. But we believe it because God said it, and it's true. God says it, and that settles it. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4, let God be true and every man a liar. We don't intend to ever speak any falsity. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 7, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. But nonetheless, it has been put upon you to check and see if the things that you have heard this weekend are so. To build your own faith. Challenge all you hear. Dare to disagree with it. But do it with a Christian spirit. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1 teaches us to try the spirits. We're losing too many of our children because our children are not willing to challenge. They're becoming Christians and taking on Christ because of mother and father. But I challenge you, children, to build your own faith, to become thinkers independent of your parents. Be able to answer the question, why are you a member of the Lord's church? What is it that is different about the Lord's church? Why do I say all this? Simply because eternity is too long. Eternity is too long. It is good to be able to identify the church that Jesus promised to build. It is good. The fact is this. In Matthew 16, 18, it proves to us that Jesus promised to build a church, singular, one church. We've already heard lessons on that. He did just that. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and the Lord added to the church. And so we know that Jesus built a church, and so it's up to us to be able to identify that church. Just think, parents, if you were to somehow lose your child, if your child had ran away and the police came to assist you in looking for your child, would not you give identifying marks? You see, you would say that my child, you see, because there may be other childs out there that are lost, but the only child I want back is my child. And so you would give identifying marks to what your child looks. My child is so tall. My child has 3 freckles on the side. My child has a birthmark on. God is no different. He has not left us to be ignorant, but he has given us identifying marks, knowing that there was going to be false teachers, knowing that there were going to be denominations arise and confuse people's minds. Oh, how do I identify that church we read about? Jesus places the saved in that church we read about. He only promised to build one, Ephesians 5:23, as we talked about. The church is made up of those who have no head but Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 teaches us that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, or the head of the body, which is the church. And so the church is made up of those who have no other head but Christ. My denominational friends, as you're sitting there, think about who's the head of your church. The Pope? We've been in a generation where the Pope has died, and the Catholic Church was without a head. And I hope you don't mind if I call a few names, because I don't mind calling names. The Catholics were without a head. Is the Pope equal to Jesus Christ? Who is the head of your church? Where is it headquarters? The church is made up of those who have a headquarters in heaven. The church is made up of those who are following the example of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 teaches that we ought to follow the example of none other than Christ Jesus. The church is built according to the pattern, as he has so briefly identified for us a few hours ago. I hope you have your copy of your bulletin this morning, this evening. Look at the subjects for each lesson. If you want to see some identifying marks for the Church of Christ, look at the bulletin. They're right there for you in print. The Church of Christ, the church that Jesus built, preaches what it means to be a member of the Lord's church. That's an identifying mark, folks. We preach what it means to be a member of the Lord's church. The Church of Christ is not a denomination. It's not, there's no division. It's not divided. What am I standing behind? I submit to you this evening that this is a pew that I'm standing behind. It is. This is a pew. It's made of wood. Aren't pews made of wood? It's located in a church building. It's used in the church service. This is a pew. This has got to be a pew I'm standing behind, and you guys are sitting on pulpits. Denominational friends, just because there are some marks that are equally, that are identifiable, does not make it so. You see, because those are used for something different. This is used to stand on and hold Bibles and notes and someone to herald God's message. Even though it's found in a church building, even though it's made out of wood, and that's some of the identifying marks of those pews that you're sitting on. Even though sometimes people stand in front of pews, this is not a pew. This is a pulpit. The church that Jesus Christ built. It doesn't matter if your church preaches what it means to be a member of the Lord's church. But just because it has 99.9%, that just won't do. It takes 100% to be the Lord's church. Just like it takes everything correctly to be a pew. It takes everything for this to be a pulpit. There's a difference between the two. And there's a difference between the denominations and the Church of Christ. If you have not been here, shame on you. You've missed something. I do not have the time to go over and rehash everything, but grab your bulletin and see. The Church of Christ, an identifying mark is that it was established on the day of Pentecost, as seen in Acts chapter 2. The Church of Christ will confront false doctrine. You will not be allowed to preach false doctrine within the true Church of Christ. I'm not talking about our friends down there in San Antonio. I'm not talking about the Max Lucadians. I'm not talking about them. They'll allow you to preach. But if it's truly the church, you will not be allowed to preach false doctrine. The church will practice discipline as it's presented to you by God's word. These are marks of the church of Christ will be known also as the bride of Christ, as we've seen. It will answer the question, is membership necessary for salvation? With a resounding yes, yes, yes. Membership is necessary for salvation. The Church of Christ will be scripturally organized. The church that Christ promised to build will be have been prophesied by the prophets have seen in Isaiah chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2, Micah chapter 2. Lessons that have been beautifully presented to us. If you're a member of this church and you weren't here, shame on you. You've missed something. You've missed the message of God being heralded. You've missed some strength building sessions. You could have built it your resolve that you're in the right place in God's church, God's kingdom, the one that is heaven bound. The church of Christ proves there's only one church. Oh, the church of Christ is not afraid to stand on that and to boast loudly that there's one church. There is but one church. There's not many church. There's not a plurality of churches. There's one church. Jesus promised to build one church. It's at my church, singular, plural. But you missed that lesson that was so beautifully done and brought to us. You missed the lesson and another identifying mark that the church shows how important it really is. You see, we are in the most important institution on earth. It's not Boeing. It's not Valero. It's not Exxon. I know the price of gas is high and it would be good to be part of those corporations. But the most important institution on earth, you and I are members of the Lord's church. There's nothing else that compares to it on earth. The lesson was brought to us and laid out so plainly, so clearly, so beautifully, that if you weren't a member of the Lord's church, I don't know how you could have stayed glued to your seat. I would have said, I want to be a member of that institution also, because that's the institution that's heaven bound. The church of Christ showed it preaches the distinction between the church and the world. There's a distinction there, folks. We are separate and apart. We're different from the world. We aren't the same. We can't do the same things that your friend, high school people. Listen, you can't act like those people in school. You can't wear the same clothes as they wear. You can't speak the same way that they speak. You can't go the same places that they go to. There's something different about you. You belong to Jesus Christ because he shed his blood for you. He purchased you. Stop trying to be like your teammates that are on the baseball team. Be different. If anybody needs to be like somebody, they need to be like you. How many of you had the courage to invite somebody to hear a message of God being heralded tonight? Or how many of us knew that this meeting was going to go on? Well, they're just going to say no. No one likes to be talked about church all the time. Those aren't cool people. All you have to do is open your mouth and ask. If they say no, they're not turning you down, they're turning God down. How rough is it for you in school? If I was you, I'd be trying to make more Christians out of people because that makes school get easier. Guess what? If you bring your teacher and you baptize your teacher, she changes her mindset. Bring the principal, baptize the principal. The mindset is changed and things get easier. Just think if you were in school and everybody in that school, I don't know, Gregory Portland, what is it, 1,200 people, all 1,200 were Christians. Do you think you would look forward to going to school? They're not going to do it by themselves. It's up to every one of you. It's up to you. It's up to you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is a mark of the church. There's another mark of the church. It upholds the mission, as was so beautifully brought to us. It upholds the mission of the Lord's church. We know what the mission is, and now it's our duty to uphold it. It is restored here in America as a mark. It is reproduced by the word of God, which we heard. It follows the Bible pattern in all things. It upholds the unity of the Bible. It accepts no creed but the creed of Jesus Christ. And creed simply means, credo means I believe. The only thing that it upholds in believing is Christ Jesus. John chapter 20 and verses 30 and 31. Its only rule of faith is the Bible. There's nothing more, and it's been talked about over and over. Nothing more that we need than just the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. That's the only thing it upholds. It's founded by Christ. Matthew chapter 16, 18, as we see. It's purchased by Christ, his blood. You want to identify marks, they're all over. The church of Christ has been purchased by. It engages, as we've heard at the last of the last lesson, it engages in all five actions of worship. You talk to us about each of them. Singing, Ephesians teaches us about it. the Lord's Supper in Acts chapter 20, praying, giving, preaching, all five actions are clearly being engaged upon. That's an identifying mark of the church. We have churches today that only take the Lord's Supper once a month, that only baptize on some certain day, baptizing Sunday. We have congregations of, we have churches today that call themselves churches. I don't like saying that word with them. We have buildings today. How's that? We have buildings today that call themselves churches that aren't churches that will only baptize you on a certain day, that will only give for certain things. Oh, the confusion that is here. The Church of Christ, as he said earlier, does not practice infant baptism. An infant can't believe. An infant doesn't know that it has any sins. They don't practice this. Mark 16:16 tells you who's eligible for baptism. The Church of Christ teaches that spiritual gifts have ceased. There's no miracles happening today, and the Church of Christ upholds this. There's marks all up and down and over the Church of Christ. Oh, what are those marks? Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Lord's church simply wears only the Lord's name. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Here's showing the importance of a name. There's no name that is given besides the name of Jesus Christ. The Church of Christ wears the Lord's name. It's the church that Christ purchased with his own blood. It's the name that has been given to us by the Almighty. Oh, Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 5. God always names his people. Listen to Genesis 17:5. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but that name shall be called Abraham. The Church of Christ has liked that. It's been given a name from the Father. Abraham's name was changed from Abram to Abraham. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse number 2, he says that there's going to be a new name coming. And that new name has presented itself in Acts chapter 11 verse 26. And they were Christians is the name that the Church of Christ wears. Each one of us are Christians. We are God's disciples, Christ. Listen to that name, Christians. Christ is in there. People look at you. It's been presented to us earlier. People look at us and they expect to see Christ. Listen to what I'm saying. People look at us and they expect to see Christ. We're supposed to be following in his footsteps. Was it not Paul that said, follow me as I follow Christ? We are supposed to hold the mirror of God's word up to our faces every day to see if we're living up to the responsibility that has been laid on our shoulders. So many times we are failing in our responsibility to be Christ-like, to go out and teach to God. Isn't it Luke 19:10? Didn't he say he came to seek and save the lost? What are we doing? It's our responsibility. Do you know how much God thought about you? He could have told the angels to do it. But he thought so much about you all, every one of us, that he put that responsibility to you. Just can you hear God? In a conversation with the angels could have been saying, Lord, I can do that for you. My children can accomplish the task at hand. Just as Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. Are we ready to do as God would have us to do? This is what it means to be a Christian. Don't get me wrong. The Church of Christ, there's other names. It's not an exclusive name. It's not something that where we have to be named the Church of Christ, but there's other names. But guess what they do? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, it's called the body of Christ. How about Hebrews, Church of the Firstborn? But each one of them point back to Christ. The body that was taught earlier in Ephesians is the church. And so when we call it the body of Christ, they understood the Church of Christ, Church of the Firstborn from the dead, never to die again. It's Jesus Christ. And so they understood he was talking about Christ again. And so we see that it's the church that Jesus purchased. And so I'm not preaching that there's exclusivity in a name, in the name Church of Christ, but I am saying that all those members within the church wear Christian alone. And as I said earlier in the lectureship, not hyphenated. There's no such thing as Baptist Christians. There's no such thing in your Bible as Catholic Christians, as Jehovah's Witness Christians. those doctrines are closer to Satan than they are to God. And please, I don't mean for you to get upset, but I'm only telling the truth. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. I've come to set the record straight this evening. I don't want there to be any confusion. I don't want you to leave here because there's mass confusion all throughout the world. People are wondering, where is the Lord's church? How can I find the Lord's church? So I'm going to tell you that Christ only built one church, and these are identified marks of that one church. And anything else belongs to Satan. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted. What do you think he's going to do with it? Just hold it? He's going to uproot. What do you do when you uproot stuff? You don't just hold it there. You throw it away. It's no good. And that's what he's going to do to these other ones. They're going to be thrown and cast into the fire. That's hell, in case you don't know. I don't know if people don't like hearing that word anymore. But the fact is, somebody has to go to hell. And the Church of Christ is not the some people that are going to hell. I'm not saying that everyone within the church are going to be saved, because everyone's not doing what they are supposed to be doing to be members. But I'm telling you that the church that Jesus promised to build is the Church of Christ. And those that are being saved have been added to that church. And those are the ones that are going to be handed back up to the Father, as he tells us in 1 Corinthians. Those are the ones. It's not the Baptist church. It's not the Catholic church, as much as we love them. And that's why we must tell you this. We're forced to tell you because of our love for you. How would you like if you came to my little town and on the other side of the train tracks, they kill people? Well, I knew you didn't like being told what to do. So I watch you go and drive off over to the other side of the train tracks and wave to you. See you when you get back. You're not coming back. I don't want to make you mad, though. So I can't care about making you mad this evening. If you get mad, so be it. But be honest enough to take a look into God's word and let it be true, because God says it's true. If I even raise a question in your mind, be an honest enough person to come forward and say, I'd like to study that some more, even if it's only to prove me wrong. Because if you can show where we're wrong, we have honest enough people that will take the name down and change when you show it to us in the Bible. We want you to be the Church of Christ teaches only the Lord's doctrine. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. But thank be to God that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. It teaches only that form of doctrine which Paul had delivered to the Romans, you see. Take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine. Doctrine is something we have to pay attention to. Doctrine, you know that word in the Bible is equal to truth? Seek equal to scripture or the word? That's what we're talking about in the Bible when we talk doctrine. We must pay attention to the doctrine, because a time will come where they'll be having itching ears and they'll bring a foreign doctrine in. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Sanctify them with the word is truth. With thy truth, thy word is truth. John 17, 7. That's equal to doctrine. Doctrine is truth. Doctrine is the word. And he said unto them, beware of the doctrine of the scribes and Pharisees. Mark chapter 12, verse 38. The doctrines or commandments of men are thrown to us in Matthew chapter 15, verse number 9. Why do I say all that? To show you there's two types of doctrines. If you're not following the doctrine of God, which doctrine are you following? Because if you were following the doctrine of God, you'd be in the place where God placed you. And so if you're not in the place that God placed you, that one true church, then whose doctrine are you following? And if you're following the doctrine of men, how can you expect man to get you to heaven? What man do you know that's ever went to heaven? There's only been one that came down, walked upon the face of the earth, went into the Hadean realm, came out of the Hadean realm, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's why Jesus says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. What man do you know that does that? What man do you know that did the same? If so, keep following man. If not, you need to change and start following the doctrine of God. No. He says in Mark chapter 1, verse 22, that they were astonished of that doctrine of God. You see, Jesus had been preaching the doctrine of God, and it astonished people. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which came from heaven. Oh, doctrine is important. But not only that, the Lord's church, only worships in spirit and truth. We've talked about this earlier, so we don't have to spend much time here once again. John chapter 4, verse 24. The hour is coming where the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, because the Father seeks such. You know how the Father wants you to worship? In spirit and truth. That's what attitude, and it was so beautifully laid out that truth must come first. The truth of God must come first. You must have the proper attitude. Many of us have the wrong attitude. Many of us haven't been here every moment that we could be, because we have the improper attitude. We had not prepared ourselves. Why do you think they run it in the bulletin for weeks that they're having a meeting? Why do you think it's in the same time every year, the same weekend? So that you can make preparations to be here. That's why they do it. You know that you need to mark your calendars for 2007 for this weekend. You already know that. Don't make plans to go somewhere else. Make plans to be here, edify yourself, and encourage someone else by your presence. That's what you need to make plans to do. That's why it's at the same. Well, they could change it if they wanted to. Why do you think it's ran in the bulletin? Prepare. Who doesn't prepare themselves for work? Anybody not prepare themselves for work? Okay, how about this? You're talking about it was 2 weeks off, preacher. Who doesn't prepare themselves for a vacation that's 2 weeks away? Don't you make preparation? Oh, I'll be on vacation in 2 weeks. I'm letting you know right now, make some preparation. Can you watch over my email? Because I'm going to be gone in 2 weeks. I need you to watch out for me. I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, you see. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. I'm talking about the same thing. Make the same type of preparation for God. God, I know that we're going to be coming together in 2 weeks. And I'm prepared to be there. I'm prepared mentally, I'm prepared physically to be there to encourage someone to be edified by what's being spoken. Oh, there's no more encouraging thing that you can do for a leadership than to be present. You want to encourage your elders? Be here. You want to encourage the preacher? Be here. If he was to look out and see 300 people out here, what do you think he's going to feel? You don't have to say nothing to him. Your presence would encourage him enough. What do you think he says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25? That's why it says not to forsake the assembling of yourself together. Why? Because in verse 24 he says, hey, we encourage one another by our presence of being there. And so if you want to bring some encouragement to somebody, then be here. Quit being absent. Oh, the Church of Christ has the right attitude, has the truth. In Psalm chapter 25, verse number 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me. We need to be taught the truth of God's word. We need to be led in the truth of God's word. This is the only way to worship the Lord. That's what he was talking about in culmination, and as we've seen earlier in Matthew chapter 15, verses 6 through 9, when he was talking about the doctrines of men. He says that they weren't being led in the truth or in the doctrine of God. They had the wrong thing. They were following the commandments of men, which were not true. They were honoring with their lips. How many of us are like that? How many of us have the hypocritical attitude that we'll be here, we'll honor with our lip and say, oh, we'll say this and we'll say that, we love God, but then we're not here when God's here. Where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. Is it a blessing to be in the services of our Lord? Or did the blessing all of a sudden go away? If it is a blessing, then why do we want to miss out on it? And I'm not talking to you folks that had family emergencies. You know I'm not. If you think I'm talking about you, then I probably am talking about you. But if you've got a legitimate excuse, you're not worried about that. You're not sitting out there mad telling me to get off your feet. But if you're telling me that, that's exactly who I'm talking about. And people always say, oh, I can't stand when the preacher talks. Don't let it be known. If you sin, quit sinning so everybody can see. My job is to preach against sin. Well, I got to talk about you. You weren't here. It's my job to let you know it's not okay for you not to be here. That's sin. That's S-I-N. The S and the N and I is smack dab in the middle. You're in sin. You needed to be here. God expected you to be here. Satan went to God and said, God, he's not going to be here. Satan said, my servant's going to be there. He loves me. God was sitting high, looking low and defending you to Satan. And then you let God down. How dare you? He never let you down. Sent his only begotten son to die on a cross for you. And then you have the nerve to let him down. You ought to strive with every bone and every ounce of being in you is to please God at all times, putting him first and foremost in everything that you do, everything that you say, every action ought to be with God's thoughts first. Would God be blessed if I did that, if I was engaged in that activity? Oh, it's time for you young folks to come up and sit up closer and take on the leadership. You're the next leaders of this congregation, and it's time for you to step forward and let them know that you're up to the challenge, that you're ready to lead. You that are being groomed to be elders, you need to let them know that you desire one day to be an elder. You that are being groomed to be preacher's wife, you need to let them know that I'm looking for a godly man to marry. It's time. The time is long gone for you to stop sitting back and being quiet. And if your needs aren't being met and you're a member of the church, you need to demand that they meet your needs too. You're a member of the church. God died for you. You have a part in this. Oh, it's time to stop being silent. It's time to step forward and to fight with everything that we are for God. Young people, you can do it. You can do it. Elders don't come up out of the blue. They start right there. They start right there. When you're ready to make a distinction, when you're ready to show that you're ready to walk in holiness, you're ready to change your life in all manner of conversation, you're ready to always put Christ first. Somebody on that role is an elder. Which one is it going to be? Every one of you ought to strive to be an elder. But if you fail to meet the qualifications, don't let that stop you from working for God. I see people get down that can't be elders, and I always tell them, you know, God had one son, Jesus, and he couldn't have qualified to be an elder, but he still worked. Paul couldn't have qualified to be an elder, but he still worked. So many people, I would work, but I just wanted to be an elder, and I don't qualify to be an elder, so I'm not doing nothing. Paul kept busy. Paul was so busy, I couldn't imagine being Paul. I don't know how he did it, but he kept working. Listen to this. Here's an identifying mark of the Lord's church. If you want to know if you're in the Lord's church, if you're in the right place, the Lord's church loves. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love for the souls of men. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What's that telling you? You ought to love your neighbor's soul. Unless you hate your soul. Who hates their soul? Who wants themselves to go to hell? Which person out there wants to go to hell? Raise your hand high. If you don't want to go to hell, why do you want your neighbor to go to hell? You know that you couldn't have became a member without hearing the message of God. Then if you're going to love your neighbor like you love yourself, you need to let your neighbor hear the message of God. That's the only way your neighbor's going to be saved. It's not going to come by osmosis down from God. There's no magic that you can sprinkle on their lawn. The only way that they're going to do it is the same way that you did it. You have to have love for the souls of man unless you... does the gospel still save? It does. It still has power. It's still the dynamite. It's God's dynamite. That's what it means, that word, dunamis. It's God's dynamite. If you got some power and you're failing to use it, use the power that you've been given. Put the dynamite of God on all people. Give it to all people. Love their souls. Love for one another. He says, be kind, affectionate, one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Well, I had some things to do, but the reason I'm here is because I love my brother. I knew that someone was watching me. I don't know why the teens are behind the junior high, because the junior high are watching you. You ought to be in front of them. One of them's got one of you picked out, and they want to be just like you. And love for one another will cause you to walk right. You see, somebody's looking at each one of you adults. It's one of those teens, and they want to be like you. They want to imitate you. They think so much of you. And so love will cause you to act right. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 tells us to love the brethren. Love the brethren. Love the church of Christ. Love the brotherhood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Love the brotherhood. Do you love the brotherhood? Will you drive down the roll note to encourage them during a gospel meeting? Do you love the brotherhood? That's what loving the brotherhood is. It's about being self-sacrificial like Jesus was. He could have called, don't we sing that song? Or are we lying when we sing the song? He could have called 10,000 angels. But guess what got him to the cross? Love. Love put him on the cross. I know you have busy lives. I know you have things to do. But when you love the brotherhood, you'll drive that little 45 minutes an hour to wherever, Rockport for the meeting. I'm in the wrong area of the world, but Rockport. You'll drive it. Listen to this. Here's the mark. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this, listen to what it says, and by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. When you love one another, when you love the brotherhood that is made up of those Christians, people will know that you're God's child. You want to be known as a Christian? Love. Love in everything that you do. Finally, it takes the Lord's church is easily identifiable by the plan of salvation that she teaches. You see, there are some that preach that you must be baptized to be saved, but they're wrong in other areas. There are a whole lot that teach all you have to do is believe to be baptized, believe to be saved, but they're all wrong. You see, the Lord's church teaches that all five of them are necessary because they're all given to us in commands. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. This is obeying the gospel. Well, we emphasize baptism too much. The gospel is what needs to be obeyed to be saved. And when you obey the gospel, you obey all five of those acts. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. That's what saves us. The Lord's church teaches that there is a law of pardon for Christians. If you have sinned, all you have to do is come and confess your sins, and God is faithful and just to forgive you that sin. The Lord's church teaches that. Oh, how great it is to be a member of the Lord's church. How great it is to know that if I die tonight, that heaven will be my home. 1 John chapter 5 teaches that we can know that we have eternal life. Are you sure this evening that you have God, that you have eternal life? If not, then the time has come that you do something about it. You're going to hear one more lesson on unity of the Lord's church. I abhor you, I beg you, please listen with open minds. May God bless you, and thank you for visiting, and thank you for being such a wonderful audience.